Oh, go look at the time. God damn, 5:15. So much music, so little time. You're tuned to Mass Backwards, WBAI New York. We're going to hear now Gene Shepherd, specially selected for this holiday week. That's right. It's an oft-told tale and a favorite of many. About a herd of turkeys. And I think this is a fresh retelling. We played a different version a couple of years ago, but I'm pretty sure this one's live, judging from the interaction with all the commercials and so forth. And it's from November 22nd, 1974. Sound quality is adequate. It's an AM air check. What can you do? It's how it survives. And if we don't get it on, we're going to run way over. So here comes Gene on WBAI New York.
WOR, Radio 7.
No, WBAI New York. You know, I think we're just going to jump ahead about a minute here, cut out some of this theme, and make up for lost time. Yeah. For some reason, the tape squeals a bit here and there. It goes away after a while. The story I heard on how these tapes came to be, I'm not surprised. But it clears up. Bear with it for a few minutes.
And a tiny figure, tattered and torn, appears upon the vast stage of infinity, carrying a worn fielder's mitt and bearing the strange device that reads, Excelsior! Excelsior!
Oh, we've arrived at the end of another wake. My God, I didn't think we'd make it. Would you please, just to keep the glands moving, to keep the eyes sparkling, please, if you will.
Come on again!
Let's hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now listening to the mating cry of the wild African hyena. And if there are any wild African hyenas listening tonight, this is the season. Indeed it is, and this is a male hyena that's looking for action. Listen to this. Oh, it's beautiful.
Come on, boy, that's it.
Oh, that was exciting. Oh, hi, George. And now, if you have the other one, excuse me, Jim, please. If you have, this is the male mating cry of your average citizen of Secaucus. This was recorded in a bar just off U.S. 1 on Saturday night, and it features the sound of a Secaucus male in full plumage. This incidentally was during the mating season. As you can tell, there's a note of hysteria, and yet it's a note always underlying a virile searching. This sounds a little like a hyena, doesn't he? He sure does. we're one with the animal world, let's face it. Oh, come on, fella. Will you? I've had enough of that. Huh? Wasn't that funny? Oh, will you knock it off? That's better. That's better. Let's get back to reality here. Now he's approaching the water hole, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, he's rather nearsighted. And a rather large giraffe has taken offense at a suggestion that he just made. There we go. You know, the giraffe cannot be heard on this tape. They're soundless, but they kick like hell. There you go. Oh, well. Who knows? The evolution of a new species, the hyena crossed with a giraffe, may result from this. Boy, can you imagine this great big... Oh, that was really good. That was very good. Thank you, Jim. That was really good. I mean, really good. Now, how about the other one over there, please? Since it's let it all hang out night, we might as well let it all hang out. Whenever things get really rough around the office, I always put this on the intercom and send it up to the sales department. This endless sound of lonely trains moving across the vast bowl of inverted night known as the Midwest. The scream of the Wabash Cannonball as it reaches for Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, let me tell you. That's very good. Just keep it running, Jim. That's to keep it running. Don't ever stop. That's the lifeblood of America. Movement. Constantly on the go. We are a nation of gypsies. The only trouble is most of us have trouble playing the ukulele, much less the mandolin.
8-wheelers chugging over the Great Divide. Choo-choo-choo. Carrying the settlers west to produce Disneyland.
Very good. Hey, cut it out now. Say, let's hear it. Don't stop. I wanted to hear him.
Oh, they hit him! Look at that! It's terrible! Oh, it was awful. That went right through the water hole. What the hell?
What a sequence. That was taken right out of one of the outtakes of the Marlon Perkins show. It's awful. The train went right through. Look at it. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, my God, a giraffe. Cross with a train. Cross with a hyena. Technology is on the march. I can't stand it any longer.
No, that ends tonight's salute to the Jersey Marshes. Very good. Very good. Let's see. Did you ever hear the story about the herd of turtles? You didn't hear about that, huh? Well, did you know that at one time, you know, this is Thanksgiving. You know, I don't know whether you know that Thanksgiving is celebrated in other parts of the country. Here it's just a sale at the Grand Union. However, your pumpkin pie and all that stuff. But I will tell you that I personally had an experience vis-a-vis Thanksgiving, which has colored my attitude towards national holidays and will continue to color it forever since, ever in and on. I shouldn't tell you this story tonight because Thanksgiving is not till next week, correct, Amo? All right. It's very difficult to tell about national holidays these days because they're constantly changing the date of the national holiday. Eventually, I think you're going to see Thanksgiving's going to be celebrated early in June because it will be much more convenient, do you agree? I mean, you know, that's right. It seems to us that our, I'm saying editorially us, that our holidays are all jammed up in one time. You know, you just have all these holidays all together. And they ought to sprinkle them a little bit, you know, around. And, I would like to, at this point, tell you that I'm debating whether I should tell you what happened to me. All right, I will tell it to you. I might as well. It's Friday night, what the hell? It's Friday night, and we've only got, let's see, 700-800 commercials. We might be able to get to the story, so let's start on the workaday world before we do anything else, gang.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fight of the century, the champion, Bob Cope, brings in with a ticket price from only $25.85, including state and local factors, destination, and dealer prep charges. In the other corner, host much touted high-priced opponent.
There's the bell. The cards are out of the corner. Cope's opponent throws the first punch. Front seat break. But Colt's got gold, standard too. The Colt's getting mad. Here's another jab by Colt's opponent, Economy. But Colt responds with great gas mileage. Now Dodge Colt is throwing the punches. Ooh, there's an inside hood release, a four-speed transmission, and a lineup of six models. Colt's opponent can't take it.
The decision is unanimous. Dodge Colt, the winner and champion fight fighter.
Yes, see your local Dodge Colt dealer today, where prices start at just $25.85. That's your Dodge Colt dealer.
We're sure at Shopwell.
Sure, choosing the right turkey can be a problem. Well, Shopwell makes it real easy. Now you can choose between our sugar plum or a butterball. Two great turkeys, two great values. Both USDA grade A. Shopwell sugar plum turkeys are a Thanksgiving tradition with families who appreciate quality. They start juicy and stay juicy. Sugar plums are tender, succulent, and flavorful. And you can be sure that they'll roast to a perfect golden brown. Am I sure? You can count on it. Shopwell's unconditional guarantee guarantees it.
We're sure.
At Shopwell. This week at Shopwell, U.S. Grade A sugar plum. Premium turkeys, 20, 21 pounds, 49 cents a pound.
All right. Now, wait a minute. Now, you mean to tell me you don't know who that announcer was doing a takeoff on in the Dodge commercial? I'll tell you how he used to open his shows all the time. He says,
"Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at Churchill Downs for the 23rd running of the Kentucky Derby, the Run for the Roses. And the horses are out on the track. And now let us run down the card to see who is running today at the Kentucky Derby." number one, and drawing the rail position is Whirlaway.
All right, who was that? No, that was not Al Cap. Now stop it. What the devil is this? That's as bad as that hyena down there at the waterhole. Yes, sir. And Edna, he used to say things like,
and they're nearing the far turn. There's number 23. Whirlaway is coming up fast on the outside. He's taking the lead.
You know, that's the way it should have been done. In fact, he was also probably the greatest play-by-play fight announcer ever to live in this world. Yeah, that's why they had him on a commercial. He would say like this,
Muhammad Ali lands right to the jaw of George Foreman. It shook him badly, and now he's moving in for the kill.
Wow, you know. Wow, that ain't Howie Cosell. No way. Oh, yeah, who was that? All right. Now, one, two, three, four. Hit the button, please.
In the current issue of TV Guide magazine, Richard Burton reveals a fine talent for the written word. As he gets ready to portray Winston Churchill, Burton recalls the legendary Prime Minister in a prose portrait you won't soon forget. In the same issue, a profile of Anne Bancroft, who has dazzled audiences with her performances in The Miracle Worker and The Graduate. Now, as she prepares for a TV musical, she talks about growing up in New York. This week, TV Guide looks back to the first few weeks of television's new season, when Chico and the Man rocketed to the top of the ratings. Just as quickly, the Mexican-American community cried foul. What caused the uproar and how it was resolved makes interesting reading in TV Guide, America's biggest-selling magazine. TV Guide, on sale everywhere.
Gramercy Park Close of 61 West 23rd Street says, ever since that article ran in the newspapers about saving money on men's clothing, Gramercy Park's been selling clothes like crazy. It's very exciting. It's great. What an article about how Gramercy Park designs and creates and cuts costs to sell high-quality clothing to men who want good clothes but who won't pay high prices. You get a real education about saving money. To see how it works, go to 61 West 23rd Street, upstairs, through the big iron gate. Try on the great-looking suits and coats and slacks. Take your time. Admire yourself in the magic mirror. There's no rushing or pushing or obligation, and your credit card is okay. Gramercy Park is open to 7, Saturday to 6, and on Sunday from 10 to 5. The address is 61 West 23rd Street, New York.
That's a nifty new car. How much? Oh, super. Including tinted glass? Oh, disc brakes? White wall? Reclining bucket? How about an electric clock?
Don't let a lowball sticker price fool you. The true cost of a new car is the price the way you want it, not strict. The Datsun 710 comes with all those extra standards, things other cars charge extra for. Plus, full carpeting, electric rear window defogger, full wheel covers, and lots more. And don't forget Datsun's great gas mileage, low maintenance, and high resale value. Take a test drive in a Datsun 710 two-door sedan, four-door sedan, and hardtop, or the new five-door wagon soon. When you compare costs, true costs, you'll see that Datsun really does save.
Yeah. Get to know what the true cost of the Datsun is. Go to see one of the 56 Datsun dealers in New York, New Jersey, and Fairfield County area. Well, that's it. And this is WOR New York. If we could somehow learn some way that the human voice could be speeded up, you know, to 7,000, maybe 8,000 words a minute, just think of the number of commercials we could do then. Fantastic. Yeah, oh, wait a minute. Now, don't go away, because I promised you I'm going to tell you the... It's a sickening story, so if you are squeamish, don't stay tuned of what happened one time to me vis-a-vis Thanksgiving. I have a very, let's put it this way, come see, come sob you of Thanksgiving because of a terrible, traumatic, emotional thing that happened one time. Speaking of emotional things here, let's get a couple of these out of the way, and then we will launch into this sickening saga. All right, the National Dance Company of Senegal exploding with energy, bursting with enthusiasm, bubbling with songs, dances, and entertainment that are joyously Afrikaans. The internationally acclaimed National Dance Company of Senegal returns to New York's Felt Forum for six big performances, Thursday the 21st through Sunday the 24th. Thursday the 21st, hey, that's already passed. But they're there, right? And if you'd like to see this great dance company, the Dance Company, National Dance Company of Senegal, tickets are available through Ticketron and through the Madison Square Garden box office. Supposed to be a great show. And speaking of shows, there's a new comedy on Broadway called The Wager, and it's gotten great reviews, including such a zinging line from Clive Barnes as, "There's a dandy new comedy in town." That's a zinging line. And that was Clive Barnes. We salute Mr. Barnes, ever the master of the ringing cliche. The new hit comedy is The Wager, and it's written by Mark Medoff, and I think you'll enjoy it. At least the copy says so. Directed by Anthony Perkins. And it's now at the East Side Playhouse. Okay. And let's see. Great Scott. Richard Burton is playing Winston Churchill. That's enough to turn you. Here it is. Winston. Richard Burton playing Winston Churchill. Well, why not? It's on, after all, Winston Churchill played it pretty well. It's Sunday in the New York Times. You'll find out what Burton thinks of Churchill. And as a piece, learning to play the man, Burton says, is a quick way to learn to hate him. Well, okay. That's Richard Burton in this week's New York Times magazine. And does one critic believe that film director Federico Fellini is a has-been? Well, there's always some critic who'll write a nice zingy article and pick up a couple of $100 spending anything. So you'll see all of this goody stuff in this week's New York Times magazine. Now, let's see. You know where to get the Times, right? I don't have to tell you about that. Get in line early Sunday morning or late Saturday night. And let's see, one more other one here. It says, make your Thanksgiving dinner an occasion. Go where the knowledgeable New Yorkers go. Take mother and the whole family to the Press Box Steakhouse, 139 East 45th Street. That's where the knowledgeable people go, as opposed to the beautiful people. At the Press Box, you'll be served a truly sumptuous turkey Thanksgiving dinner for just $7.95. So be sure. Take the uncertainty out. Don't, run the danger of having that rubber turkey that your wife fixes. Go down to the Press Box, and they'll do it upright. The Press Box, New York's famous dining spot for 25 years, and take home a drumstick. And that's it for a while. What do you say, huh? Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you. Every time Thanksgiving comes up and I walk around in the supermarkets and I see all those turkeys lined up there in the freezer box, I am reminded of a traumatic... We've all had these experiences. Jim, there must have been a time when you had one unbelievably desperate night in your life involving a girl. No? Jim, you have some great times ahead of you. I mean, it's inevitable. It's just like saying, you ever walk around and it started to rain? And you said, no, it's never happened to me. It's never rained on me. I'll say, well, it will. There will be a time. Well, one night, I don't mean traumatic and having trouble with her or anything. I'm just saying one of those nights where everything began to fall apart. Now, and you plan so to this, you know? And, I was going to this school, right? I mean, for want of a better name, let's invent a fictional name. How does this one grab you? Indiana University. This is a fictional name. There's no such place, right? Okay. I was going to this place we will call Indiana University. See, and their colors are red and white, and they're always playing Purdue, and always losing. And, it's a 46,000 people. But anyway, I just had this moment of just... I went through one solid two-week period when I was completely out of my skull over this girl. I mean, up to that point, the girls were there, fine. And I was deeply into such things as ham radio, learning to fly an airplane, all that stuff. See, that really got me for a while. But one day, how it happened... Well, I'll tell you, it was in the library. Now, not much action actually happens in most libraries. And I was only in this library because of a very nasty situation which had developed in a history class that I was part of. The situation really basically was I had to get on a stick or it was out, right? That was nasty. So here I was in this library with a great big fat book. I was trying to find out something about the Whiskey Rebellion. Well, now, that's not exactly the kind of subject that's going to turn you on. I'd seen several Whiskey Rebellions myself in a couple of taverns that I occasionally visited, but that wasn't the one they were talking about. It was something called the Whiskey Rebellion, cap letters. So I'm struggling along, you know, through the 19th century, this very dull stuff, when all of a sudden I was aware of the fact that there was somebody sitting directly across the table from me in this library. And she appeared to be crying. Well, she was sniffing, see, into her handkerchief and kind of looking down at this book. Now, that's a terribly effective ploy. It really is. I mean, you can be Scrooge. And this blonde, with a full set of really, really magically put together equipment. I mean, if she was magic, I mean, pure magic. There are some, you know, you see pictures of fantastic women all your life, and you pick up magazines, you see on the covers. But when you see somebody who transcends it, goes beyond into another plane of corporeal beingness, you can't ignore it. Well, she cut right through the Whiskey Rebellion, I want to tell you. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I could hardly keep my mind on this history textbook. And she was sending out waves of curious things. She could generate a kind of radioactive wave. And I just couldn't ignore her. Finally said, excuse me. Yes, what? I said, excuse me, but is there anything I can do? I mean, can I help you? I mean, is there anything I can do?
No. No. There's nothing you can do. Nothing.
And I said, well, please, I'd love to help. And at that point, this girl who was working in libraries, there's always about three very officious girls who work in libraries who wear burlap skirts and, you know, have the thick glasses, wear their hair pulled back, and they read the Village Voice. Well, this girl came up to me and says, shh, be quiet, will you? This is a library now, be quiet. I said, oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. And she continued to sniff. Well, I worked my way around the table. Now I'm sitting next to her. She said, read anything I can do.
Yes. Yes. I keep asking, but it's differential equations. Differential equations. That's where I live. I want to tell you, if there's anything I could work in my sleep, with my eyes shut, with my slide rule tied behind my back, it was a good, nice, bouncy, rich, ripe, fecund differential equation. I said, well, I can help you a little bit. I'm an engineering major, you know, which was true. I said, I'd be glad to help you. What'd you say your name was? Doris.
That's a pretty earthbound name. I figured her name was something like Snow White or you know, Sparkle Plenty or, you know, Chirplum Fairy or something groovy like that, you know, or Deppy, but it's Doris. I said, well, my friends call me Shep. my name is Gene, but they call me Shep. I'd like to help you.
She says, oh, would you? I don't want to ask, but would you please?
I said, of course. And so for the next hour, out on the steps of the library, love was born. And love was born over an equation that began with, I always remember it, 2 bracket dx over dy squared, the sum total over r minus 1. Well, I was explaining to her how, you know, what r minus 1 meant there and the brackets. And the next thing I know, her soft, lovely hand crept into mine, and it was, you know, I mean, it was just, I can't just tell you how it was. Well, that night, we met at the International House of Pancakes. And I'll never forget, I had blueberry pancakes, and she had strawberry waffles. And you could see we had a lot in common right away there. And we both indulged in maple syrup. And that was the beginning of a two-week period of idyllic romance, where I would run across the campus, you know, carrying my slide rule and my differential equations textbook, my calculus textbook, all the rest of it. See, to meet, we would meet with this great crash of emotion right there next to the historic elm tree, where it was reported that the original president of the university was hung there one time due to unexplained difficulties. But they call it the president's elm. It's there, you know. And there's been suggestions from time to time that they hang the current president, but that never came to any pass. So we would meet by the elm tree. We're right out of a novel by Eric Segal, you know. And it became more and more, you know. We didn't even have to say anything anymore after that. I would say, DX is the DY. And she'd say,
oh, I'm beginning to learn. I think it's beginning to happen.
She was learning how to work differential equations. So that is true love. And I was getting through to her. Well, then we began to date heavier and heavier until finally that night arrived when I picked... She was a sorority girl. And I will invent a sorority so as you know, not to offend... it was a non-existent sorority. A tridelt. Have you ever heard of tridelts? No, they don't exist. She was in the gamma chapter of the tridelts. And I remember going over to the house that night and sitting down... They had this little thing down below where guys would sit and wait for the girls to come down from upstairs, and the house mother would come in and look you over with that mean eye and, you know, make sure you were carrying no bottles, any other contraband into the house, you know, come in with pot smoke coming out of your ears and who knows what, you know. So I said to her, oh, Mrs. Murgatroyd, is Doris ready? She'll be right down. And she called me James. I should have taken that as an inkling right away that there were others, but I didn't, you know, the mind doesn't work that way. That was a mistake. It's the same J, you know, it's Gene. So, Gene, you said? I said, yes, Gene. Oh, I see. And she went back upstairs in her house coat. Well, about 30 seconds later, Doris came down and she was, I mean, how can I say it? Caramba. It was a vision of loveliness came drifting down out of the upper floors of the Tridale house, because we were going to a very important, a really serious date that night. We were going to a party that was, you know, they even had a group of music, the whole thing, and it was all dressed. We were dressed, and I was wearing my new sport coat. I had on, you know, I had on the shirt which I'd been saving since last September. There was always that problem of laundry. You understand that a guy always has one clean shirt that he keeps in case of total emergencies. And this was my clean shirt. All the others had maybe 4 or 5 weeks on them. And this was my clean shirt. I had on the clean shirt. I had on my new slacks. Oh, the whole bit. See. And I had cleaned my car. I had this car which occupied, I would say, a position in my world just a little bit to the... Well, I would say, actually, it was, at that point, much more important than my parents, grades, anything else. It was my car. I had worked on this 4 years, this car. I'd rebuilt every bolt, I'd shaved the head myself. I had put in the Hollywood pipes. It was magnificent. The paint on it was 32 coats of hand-rubbed lacquer, which I had rubbed with my own hands right down to the nub. It was magnificent. You could look into the hood of that car, and it was like looking into a Japanese haiku. Endless layers of meaning. Deep. You've seen that type of paint. Oh, just magnificent. And I had polished it for the occasion. 2 coats of genuine Simonized. None of this stuff you squirt out of the can. 2 coats of genuine Simonized. The seats had been done over. A new set of seat covers. Magnificent. And I was ready. And everything was just beautiful. Chrome shining. And we go out into the beautiful night. It was one of those crisp fall nights. When passions begin to really go hard. I say that the passion of man knows no bounds like a crisp fall night. Not even spring. I say fall. Would you agree that the libido rises stronger when that great harvest moon is hanging above you and there's a slight touch of frost in the air? Oh, God. And she sat beside me and I could smell that subtle oriental aroma that she was wearing that night. It was an unbelievable aphrodisiac. Just fantastic. The windshield clouded up, you know, when she got in the car. So we drove out into the night and radios on. Now, this party, which was a very important party, and which incidentally was being phoned by a faculty assistant who was known as the most hip faculty assistant on the campus. I mean, he had written a piece for Esquire once. He was very hip, into everything. And he was throwing this party for special selected hip-type students. And it was very important. We were all dressed. We were going. And it was going to begin at 7 o'clock sharp. Well, I was going through a phase in my life where I didn't want to be late to anything. You go through this kind of thing in your life when you want to be there on time. And especially you want to enjoy every last drop and ounce of enjoyment out of a party. So we took off into the night. Now, this guy lived out in the suburbs, way the hell out. He was one of these, you know, there's a certain type of faculty guy that gets what he calls a colorful old house, 1830. And my wife and I, we've been building it up together. And he's got the floor just covered with paperbacks, Schopenhauer, Kant. Herman Hesse and all of us, you know, he's got it all going, see. So he was out there. His wife wove Swedish rugs on her own loom, you know, the kind of scene. He made pottery, and the erotic pottery, by the way, on the weekends. And so he was really, you know, really into it. But everybody was going to be there at 7 o'clock. So we're driving out in the country. Remember, it's the country. This is where we're going. The Indiana countryside, which has rolling hills, plains, telephone wires, farms. Shocks of corn. You know, you've seen this probably in movies. Dick, probably movies starring possibly, Dick Clark made a few movies like this where Indiana, the other guy, the singer, made a few. Dick Haynes made that type of movie, too. So we're driving out in the moonlight, and it was fantastic. I had the feeling this was tonight, you know. It was going to happen tonight. Everything was going to be it. No way. And I was driving in a frenzy of excitement. The music is playing higher and higher. Wine, women, and song can get to a man's brain like nothing else. And we were driving for about a half an hour, and I realized we're a little late. See, I had to wait for her as she came down, you know, and I had this, oh, my new sport took beautiful. You could see the moon reflected in the hood of my car. A thousand-layered moon. Such a beautiful finish. You're curious what the finish my car was. Well, it was a royal navy blue crossed with apricot. Oh, wait a minute. Do not laugh. You have not seen this. You do not know, so do not laugh. It was a color that Rubens himself would have envied. And I had mixed it myself. It was beautiful. So we're driving along, and finally I says, hey, he says, listen, the instructions on how to get to his house. Let's see, you take 41 down to Mooresville. You turn right at the general store. You go 4 miles. Then you turn at the gravel road at the Esso station and go a half a mile. And on the left, you'll see a silo. I says, now, I know how to get there. I says, why go through Mooresville? I know a way we can get through Rushville. Turn left and go on, and you meet right there at Mooresville. I mean, you know, maybe that's on the way. So I turn left, and into the darkness we go. Oh, my God, what a mistake. We go into the darkness, and we go about 4 miles. I turn right. Now, I'm in a gravel road, see? And it's getting later, and she's getting it's getting a little late. You sure you're going right? Well, now, that a man's virility is on the line when he has made a statement like, of course I know where I'm going. You know, I know one guy who flew an airplane to Milwaukee. And he flew the airplane to Milwaukee all the while, telling him, what do you think? Of course I know what I'm doing. The only trouble is, they were supposed to be going to Indianapolis. We won't get into that. That was another night. So I'm driving along, see, and I'm, the wrong Omni and everything. So I'm driving along. And I begin to see, we're late, you know. And we're on a one-track gravel road at this point. Now, I knew I was trying to get back to the original road. Now, there were a couple of farmhouses that were dark, past in the darkness, and I heard dogs barking. We're driving further, and dust is coming up all over the place. Oh, it's getting on my car, you know. And she's getting a little bugged.
and it's now 5 minutes to 7 o'clock at night. I make another turn, and I'm heading towards a glow in the sky. Now, this is the way you navigate in certain parts of Indiana. You see a glow, you know that's got to be either Rushville or Mooresville, you know. And so I head towards the glow, and I'm heading towards it when suddenly I see coming out of the darkness, I couldn't believe it. There in front of the car, in the headlights, thousands of crawling things. Millions of crawling things. Right down that handle. I said, wait a minute, hold it. I said, catch up. And I put the car in second. And I put it, slow down. And I slowly put, and I am now behind 7,000 turkeys that are being herded by a farmer along this road. They cover the entire road, and they cover the bank of the road up to the cornfields on either side. There must have been 7,000 turkeys ahead of me. And they're all moving in the darkness in my direction. Well, at that point, I'm sitting in the car and says, hey, will you get them turkeys out of there? What the hell is this? Move the turkeys! And I hear these turkeys all go... You ever hear a turkey? They go... They really do make that sound. Thousands of turkeys all around, and now they're surrounding the car. And I can see what's beginning to happen. Maybe you are not aware, friends, that there are byproducts of turkeys. When turkeys move, they not only move their feet, they move a lot of other things. The entire air is filled with what appears to be the effluvia of turkey that's drifting back over the windshield. It's on the windshield. It's drifting all over the hood of the car. And, oh, my God, what an incredible smell. And this girl sitting next to me, daughter, what's happening? What are you doing? Where are you taking me? She began to get scared. She thought I had taken her to the scene. And the turkeys are all... I don't think I do it. Down with the window. I says, hey, you! Will you get these turkeys out of the way? At that point, three turkeys flew by. They fly. You ever see a turkey fly? Most people have never. No, that's right. They think turkeys all come in those neat little net bags, nicely frozen, and delivered exactly that way by the turkey ferry to the Grand Union. But the turkey is a walking around living creature. And what does he do when he does? Well, he flies. For one thing, he goes, boom, boom, with the big wings. Two of them flew right by the door of the car. Boom, 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 and what the feathers are hitting me. And I said, hey, get that turkey out of there. What am I going to do? Well, at that point, all I could do was to try to back up. So I put my foot out on the running board of the car. I couldn't see anything. And I'm driving backwards. The turkeys have now surrounded the car like a flood. Well, the farmer comes out of the darkness. And he gives me one long look, and he says, now look, buddy, you just sit right where you are. Nobody asked you to drive in among my turkeys, and I don't know whether you know nothing about turkeys, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You scare a turkey, and that turkey's going to die. Turkeys die of fright. And if you scare them damn turkeys, I've got a double-bayed shotgun, a 12-gauge over and under Remington, that's going to teach you a little bit about getting scared, too. Now, you either sit there in that damn car of yours, or I'm going to blow the hell out of this Ford. You got any questions, buddy? Well, I didn't have any, actually. At that point, one doesn't question a thing like this coming out of the darkness, and the turkeys were going, and we slowly crawled along the road. I had to go where the turkeys were going. I couldn't back up because the turkeys are behind the car. I'm in a sea of damn turkeys. And you know they're white. Did you know that? These are millions of white turkeys that look like ghosts out there. And the girl is sitting next to me, she's crying. And it's now about 7:45. We're sitting in the sea of turkeys. We slowly crawl forward. 45 minutes later, we finally arrive at the turkey house. All the turkeys turn left and drift slowly off into the darkness. And the car is just covered with this effluvia of white turkey product. There are feathers drifting around inside the car. And the smell. It is an unforgettable smell. A smell that has all... Well, it, among smells, this is the... Let's put it this way. This is the Beethoven Ninth Symphony of smells. It's strong, and it makes a statement. 20 minutes later, we arrived at the party. Everybody looked up and says, what's that smell? Doris didn't speak for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And when she did speak, it was I think I'd like to go home. Okay, Doris. Now that's... I just realized. Some men are born to live life as if it was a tranquil pool, never, never, never enjoying the rain, the falling stones, the trembling earth. No way. And then there are others, surrounded by a sea of laughing turkeys, snarling hyenas, angry salesmen, a sea to be or not to be, to confront the enemy, to confront life, to deal with it as it is, that is the question, and therefore to win through to victory. Turkeys are not what you think they are, friend. And will you stop that laughing, you damn fool? I've had enough of that laughing! I don't want to hear it anymore! I don't care who you are! I said shut up! That's better. What kind of an animal would laugh at a man's innermost traumatic, terrible disasters of life? What kind of an animal would do that? That's right. Your kind, right? Your kind. And there's probably others like you sitting out there tonight laughing. Well, I'll tell you, laughing. Oh, well, it's no use to get angry. Man loves to see his fellow man suffer, suffer, suffer. Just the way it is. Gotta accept it for what it is. You know, a funny thing about it. That's right. Laugh. I'll tell you, buddy, wait till I find out what happened to you. The night's one. 3 o'clock in the morning when it's still in the pad, I can actually smell. The smell of turkey coming out of my closet. I don't even have that sport gun anymore. Those shirts have long since disappeared. Maybe it's in my mind. It's the turkey smell. The eternal traumatic moment. Where is Doris? I don't know. Probably somewhere tonight, right this very minute. She's in the kitchen stuffing a turkey. For the week. Thanksgiving to come. Or maybe she can't stand turkeys either. Ah, the slings, the arrows, the unwitting, cruel laughter of your fellow man. Yes, I've heard it all. So have you. The hollow laughter. That's right, hollow laughter of a man sitting in a barn caucus with a snoot full of Jim Beam. Yeah. Laugh, laugh, clown, laugh. Yes, the hollow laughter of the gallows. Oh. Oh, yes. There's nothing left, friends, for any of us, but the clutch at the psychic life preserver in the Sargasso Sea of existence, and hope that tomorrow will be a better day.
Seems the old cassette timer was less than accurate. Meaning we're ending ahead of 6 o'clock for a change. Gene Shepherd from November 22nd, 1974. In his classic story of the herd of turkeys. Which rounds out today's Mass Backwards. We're back here next Tuesday morning, 4 to 6 a.m. 7 o'clock Sunday night for the golden age of radio. Join us, won't you? We'll be beginning anew. I love you.
Well, excuse me, this is WRBAI. Stay tuned for the conversation.
Good to the last cluck. Wanted to get that in. And, yes, on the Golden Age of Radio. Well, I don't know. I've heard from one angry listener who tuned in, you know, yesterday we transitioned back after several days away from our main studios, and we were running at a slight time lag for half of the evening. So some people may not have realized the Golden Age of Radio was actually on late last night and may have missed the 10th and final concluding chapter of City of the Dead. If I hear enough complaints, I may have to run it again or put it on the web somewhere where you can all find out what happened. In the meantime, though, we'll be starting the second episode, second series, this Sunday night. So tune in, Golden Age Radio, 7 to 9 Sundays. I'm Max Schmid. Thank you for listening. And enjoy the rest of your morning. Wake-up call is coming right up. So you do stay tuned to WBAI New York.